finally, presidential MVP nomination.
All right, what's going on, family? We are live right here on Ism Radio, ready to do our thing. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, what's going on, family?
Today's show is brought to you by 1804movies.com. That's where you can go get the movie 1804, one of the best-selling documentaries that's out right now, ladies and gentlemen. And also, today's show is brought to you by HiddenColorsFilm.com. You can go get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Let me introduce my lady co-host real quickly. We have Miss Bree over here. Bree, can you move the water bottle so we can see all your voluptuousness and stuff
go.
Like that?
Here you go. Hey, guys.
She got
enough. Yes, you yes. Know. And over here we have Miss Layla Lopez. How are you, Layla?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, indeed. And we have a very special guest on today's show. We have my brother, Playa. That is Mr. Damon Dash right here. How are you, Dame?
What's that?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Can't complain. How you doing?
Man. So, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. A lot of stuff going on with you. The movie coming out, man. Honor Up. When is that going to be released?
Well, it's supposed to be February 14th.
Okay.
But there's been a lot of it's good or just reception period. So we're thinking about how much bigger we need to roll it out. If I need a little more time. I think February 14th is going to be the day.
Okay. And that was executive produced by Kanye, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I saw a trailer. Last time I was chopping it up with you and Boyce, I saw the trailer. The trailer was amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. Now, who's all in the film?
Cameron, my OG Daniel, Styles P, Nick Turturro, Stacey Dash, Mike Rispoli, Smoke Dizza, Juju, Queen of Harlem, Michelle, Jatan,
yeah,
Isha. You know, it's a lot of different. It's a lot of different people.
Okay, let me get you to talk in the mic, Luke.
Oh, sorry. It's a lot of different people.
Okay, now there was some stuff I saw where Stacey Dash, she's in the movie, and she was complaining about being in the movie. There was something where she said she didn't want to be in it, or what was
or
that
her
about?
Her image
or something
used.
Like that. Her image was being used for the film.
You know, for me, that's like family business, so I don't really talk. Like, I'm not going to talk about it so much, but, just family stuff. My family stuff is public. I think that my family stuff is public.
Right.
You know, I don't choose to engage so much.
So is it squash? I just want to make sure everything is good on your end and they're not fucking with you as well.
I ain't never been no beef. I can never have no beef with my cousin. That's my cousin.
Right.
I don't know what you
Man. Now, a lot of people are talking about the Harvey Weinstein thing. And for a long time, people criticize you for calling Harvey Weinstein out on stuff. And we don't have to get into specific stuff. But for years, you called Harvey Weinstein out on bullshit. Now, a decade later, or I don't know how long it's been, everybody else is calling him out now.
Yeah.
So
that's the story of my life, really.
Mm.
You know, a lot of what the movie Honor Up is about is my morals and my principles and the fabric. You know, it's about my relationship and the people that inspired me to be who I am today. Like, you know, I had to survive in a very extreme circumstance, and the only way to get through it was to have certain morals and principles. And looking the other way meant like death or jail.
Mm.
And, you know, going into the corporate world, I just couldn't kick that. Like, I'm not a drug dealer. I haven't hustled in years, like, you know, decades. But there's still certain ideals that I still live by. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm just not going to compromise them for money. So when I see somebody that's treating people poorly, number one, I'm not going to allow anyone to treat me poorly. But I always feel bad for the people that can't really defend themselves. So I treat them poorly for the people that they're treating poorly. So I do that, and then I'm not going to really like glorify that person or make so much money with that person or any money with that person moving forward, because then it's like being like it's all right to be, you know, not have morals and principles, but if they can make you some bread, you're still going to work with them. And I don't play those games either. So, you know, I've always tried to choose like people that are considered titans in an industry that everyone's scared of, that I don't think people should be. So
yeah.
In music, it was Leo Cohen. I didn't like the way he played the culture. I thought people were scared of him for no reason. You know, I'm a person that's intelligent. I was educated in the street, but also I was very educated scholastically. You know, I've seen the whole world. I do white people stuff better than white people. You know what I'm saying? And I do black people stuff better than most black people. Yeah. You know, so either way, no one's going to try to, like, intimidate me on any level. And I don't like the intimidation that he was doing on people that I felt were too strong for that kind of intimidation. So I always thought publicly, I thought, let me show the world how weak he was. So I labeled him a culture vulture so people would know exactly what I meant and to look out for him. And I chose him in music, and my nemesis in movies was Harvey Weinstein, because everybody thought he was a Don, and I was like, he doesn't even put up his own bread. And as you see, he got fired from a company that's called him, and I always said that you're not the boss unless you put your own bread up. Mm. His morals and his principles were very compromised, and people have been looking the other way for years. But all those years, when I had the opportunity to move forward with him, I chose not to, even when it meant my own people was telling me, like, bugging and all this type of stuff.
Exactly.
And it's that look the other way model that I don't subscribe to, that I'm glad it's coming forth. It's like patience, you know, kind of exonerates it, you know. But absolutely. The thing is, it's not really for my personal ego. It's like now everyone is warned from him. But I was trying to warn y'all a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times it's easier for people to move in the crowd, but I like to kind of move when I'm on my own anyway.
Why do you think
to go against the crowd?
Why do you think? Because they're powerful people who act intimidated when they get around the Harvey Weinsteins and the Lear Cohens. And these dudes, I mean, you got the paper. Why are you acting so scared? Why do you think you didn't have that mentality that so many other people have who don't need to have it?
I mean, I call a spade a spade. You know what I'm saying? I don't look the other way. So I think it was the look the other way factor, thinking that people could do more for you and being like, all right, as long as they're not doing it to me, I'm all right with that. And I've never been all right with that.
Right.
Like, you know, I think probably because I was a father so young, I've learned how to love people before I love myself.
Mm.
So I'm always trying to do what I think is best for other people, because I'm always survive. I know I'm strong. Mm. So what I usually end up doing is fight for other people that don't even appreciate it, but I'm still do it because they'll get it at some point, even if it does compromise what might be what's in my best immediate interest, like financially or whatever. But I just believe that wealth is having integrity. Wealth is never compromising. Wealth is like showcasing, like, the definition of a man, which is doing something when it's not popular, when it is a fight, you know what I'm saying? And when it's for the better and bigger picture. Like, a real man takes care of other people before they take care of himself, at least like their kids and their wife.
Right. Now, how were you when you had your first child?
19, 20.
Oh, you were a young dude. Yeah. How was that, man? How was that? Did that just make you snap up and say, I got to be responsible now?
I mean, it was normal. It, you know, where I came from, it was like, you know, young people were adults very fast, so everyone had a kid. I wanted one. I wanted somebody to love, and I was really strategic about it because I wanted him to be kind of like, I wanted to be young when he was kind of old, you know what I mean? So him being 20 and me being 40, that's like the same age.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But that was like, I was just trying to invest in having the best friend already. But, you know, in hindsight, it might have been a little selfish of me because I wasn't ready to really be a full-on good dad. I was still somewhat putting myself sometimes before him, you know what I'm saying? So I learned a lot from being a dad that young, and I've been a better dad. The more I've been a dad, I got four kids now, and my daughter, Tallulah, I believe, is getting the best version of me, and I believe that everything that I've learned and the mistakes that I made from raising my son that young, because I also had custody of him. I went to court and got custody of him since he was 8, so I was a single dad. And, that, you know, it's crazy that, like, within the culture that no one ever talks about that, because I always thought that was the illest thing I ever did. And forget Rockefeller and all the other stuff. I was like, I raised my son by myself while I was working.
You know? Wow.
They never said that. They never spoke on that. And that's why I also knew strategically that they weren't trying to promote the positive things about me as a black man because of what it would mean for my black culture. And that meant awareness and knowing that you could do certain things and knowing that you could do it on your own and be you know, be strong. You know what I'm saying? That I've always seen them push all the good shit to the side.
Now, you had a kid at 19.
Yeah.
You're living in New York, you're living in Harlem.
And I was diabetic, too.
Oh, wow.
Still there.
Wow.
Type 1, the needle.
Wow.
The needle.
Now.
Gangsta dope fiend.
What made you get into the music industry?
Because I was trying to get out the selling drugs industry. Simple and plain. You know what I'm saying? That paid in full was a very, you know, real thing. I was actually there. I experienced it. And once I saw Rich get killed, I was like, he was the coolest to me. I'm not trying to hustle. And that was the reason why I made the movie Pay in Full, because I wanted people to understand what came with the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was almost like to not want to be in the game, because it looks good, but it always ends up bad.
Absolutely.
You understand? And that's also what Honor Up is about as well.
Now, how did you get your foot in the music industry? How did you get in? Because a lot of folks at that age, they'll go intern somewhere. You took a whole different route.
Well, actually, like, you know, ironically, Stacey's brother, Darian, his stepfather, was in the music business. And he was like, he always saw I was in the street, and he was like, yo, you should come do this. He was always like a not a hustler, but he always knew how to get money at a young age. Very intelligent dude, Darian Dash. And, you know, he was like, yo, my stepfather used to run Casablanca, and one of his interns is an A&R at Atlantic. And he was like, let's get in the music business. And I was like, nah, I'm not for all that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when you're in the street, you really don't want to have everything you're doing put on a record.
It
compromises everything. So to us, like, at that time, like, being a rapper and music was kind of corny. You know what I'm saying? As a hustler, you know, get more money, you know, that kind of thing. So I didn't really want to do it. But once that happened, when Rich got killed, and then I went to a party once. It was like a Heavy D party. And I was just like, you know, this is kind of, this will be easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, based on, because I'm coming from a completely different environment.
And what
know?
Year is this? Like what, 91, 92?
This is 91, 90.
90,
this
okay.
90, maybe 89.
Okay.
Because my son was born in 91. I had a record out when I was 19, 20. So it might have been, I was about 18.
What was that record?
What's the Bro to Do from the Future Sound. We had Atlantic was signed to him. And Clark Kent had signed to him.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
That's where I learned how bad I didn't want to be in the record business in the way they wanted me. With ourselves.
Right.
So
right.
I kind of got a record deal kind of early just because I got our foot in the door because this dude, Kevin Willie, used to work for my my step uncle, whatever you want to call it, Cecil Holmes. And, you know, he didn't sign him, but Clark did. Clark came in and he saw how cool we were. And he signed us and then he put me with the Future, first with the Future Sound, then he put me with Original Flavor, and then he put me with Jay-Z.
Okay, so that's how you and Jay-Z hooked up.
Yeah, through Clark.
Okay.
Definitely. Because me and Clark became close because he liked the way I just didn't compromise the same way. I was always kind of like a real authentic kind of cat. And he kind of taught me the business from what he knew. And
yeah.
He brought me around with him because he DJed a lot. And he always made sure I had a ticket. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I'd come through and I went to all these states and I learned a lot from Clark. And then he would introduce me to people because he had this... I don't really want to tell this hustle, but every time I got somebody signed, he got a couple of dollars.
Well, that's what it was.
That's a shit. I was like, that's a great fair exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he had one foot in on the other door, so when he put me with Jay, it was crazy to me that nobody wanted to sign him because he was so good.
Yeah.
And really what I saw was they didn't want to empower us. They knew if he did get empowered that he wasn't going to let go, and that me at the helm, I really wasn't going to let go. So really, it was like, I'm never going to let a nerd be in control of my destiny because they'll put their best interest before history. You know what I'm saying? Just like Lior, that's how, like, when Lior split me and Jay up, I found that selfish because he messed up a lot of history.
Mm.
But he did it for himself. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing.
Now, when you guys got the first album out, The Reasonable Doubt, that was on Priority, right?
It was distributed through Priority.
Right, right. That was unique because you guys didn't just sign a regular deal like everybody else was signing. Back then, it was like, we got to get a deal. We got to go get signed to be on somebody's label. What made you guys at that time take an unprecedented?
Because in the street, we was the plug. So that's all we could think in is be the plug. You know what I'm saying? So how we go from bosses to looking for bosses. It didn't make sense.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I could never listen to Leo. You know, lame, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I'll do it myself and I'll come back around. And then, you know, we'll do it when we can be partners. We had to be partners. We couldn't work for them. They couldn't empower us. They couldn't tell us what to do. I was way too arrogant for that. And we was getting way too much money. And I always knew my worth. My brain is my worth. And if you're not smarter than me, I can't work for you.
Was Def Jam always low-key trying to undermine you guys?
Always. Always.
I kind of got that vibe.
I mean, they were always trying to get the credit for the work we were doing. They were a perception kind of a label. That's what they did. A lot of what the music business is smoke and mirrors. None of the executives are real executives. They don't do executive things. They just have a title.
Mm.
And there's usually someone else that looks that doesn't look executive that's doing all the real work.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? So in order to make money off of black people, you have to put black people and look like they're in position.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Def Jam lately has been a little more flagrant about it from what I'm seeing.
Mm.
I don't see no black people running Def Jam right now.
Wow. You guys came in right when Russell was getting out, right?
He was out. And I was mad, too, because I thought he was in. That's the reason why I signed with Def Jam.
Yeah. So a lot of folks thought he was still running things back then, and it wasn't.
Perception.
Yeah.
You know, Russell was diversifying. He was going, and what he taught me was like, you know, when Def Jam isn't hot with music, he made sure they was hot with the comedy or Fat Farm.
Right.
So what he taught me was, yo, when something's not hot and when something else is, it'll keep everything hot. You know what I'm saying? Nothing can stay hot forever. That shit cools off. So, you know, and that's why Def Jam always was relevant. I did learn that from Russell. Also, lifestyle. I learned a lot about lifestyle from Russell.
Right. Because you guys were early on in the branding of a label. And not just the label, just making that brand just universal all across the board. When did you guys start doing that?
Well, you know, you got to think, when you're in the streets, you brand in your work, right?
Right.
You got a certain color type on it, you know what I'm saying? Somebody can't use your color, you know what I'm saying? You have to be consistent. It's the same thing, branding. You just want to be consistent. I know what I notice is if you got good work, people going to come. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So don't ever pretend you're doing something and misrepresent me and make it look like my work is whack. You know what I'm saying? Because that'll compromise my brand. But also, we started understanding how much more money we were making off other stuff or making other people. So we noticed that when we wore clothes, they're you know, like Iceberg or something, everyone started to wear it, that their value would go up. So it'd be like, shit, we're the plug. I might as well figure out how to make the clothes and sell it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So basically, if you know how to make something and sell something, you can do that, and it implies that everything, because that's all really the market is. You make a product and other people buy it. Mm. And that's how you make money.
Right.
Same
right.
principle. So it's to me, it was always about flipping. So you can't really never be broke if I could rub two sticks together and make a little fire.
Mm.
I'd always flip. So I buy for two, I sell for four. Make that four, flip that, make it eight. I could always do that.
Mm.
No matter what it is. You know what I'm saying? The more you buy of it, the cheaper it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now, what I was noticing for the music business was there's no margin in it. You spend a lot of money, and it's all about a skip. But the artist doesn't make no bread. You feel
right,
me?
Right.
So you overpay for shit so a director can get paid and the person promoting can get paid and they can get a car and pay for get and all this other stuff. Pardon me. And then they can skim it. But the artist still, it just eats into the margin. So it was like when the internet came, I was like, oh shit. There's a director-consumer relationship
right.
I can have without no middleman. And, you know, me, I see things early because I'm always living in the future. I was like, fuck all of this. I got to figure out how to distribute stuff by making product that doesn't cost to remake, which is digital content.
Right.
So,
right.
And I noticed that that's the thing that you can sell straight to your consumer, and they gonna get, can't get enough of it. They
right.
fiends for content.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to establish a distribution, which was the streaming services, and I was waiting for everybody to catch up. I was throwing shit on YouTube, but before they was monetizing, and I had Creative Control,
right.
which was a digital television station, and that's when I opened up the gallery and did all of these things.
Yeah.
And ran around the world and documented it. But my bottom line is, once I realized that the internet existed and I could talk directly to my consumer, I invested into making things that I could sell directly to my consumer.
What do you think about these 360 deals they got now?
I mean, I think that if an artist knows how to do their own show and make their own merch, and they can do that without help, then they should never take a 360 deal.
Okay.
If you don't know nothing about the game, if somebody snatches you up and they put money into you and then they teach you, and they're basically investing in you, then... Like instead of me doing a 360 deal with an artist, I just partner up with them and we do a project together.
Right, right.
We're 50-50 partners. That's why Jay and I were 50-50 partners. I practiced this a long time ago. I don't really need no PC or show, but we could also make another brand of clothes, rockwear, that we could sell together, 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, like what you do with your shit is your business. But whatever I'm putting my time into, and we have putting equal time into it, you're the talent, I'm the brains. You know what I'm saying? I'm the muscle. You know what
right.
I'm saying? You go ahead, I make it where you could be as creative as possible. I'm going to make sure there's people investing in your brand at all times, millions of dollars. So if we create something together from that, then we partner. Just like I did with Black Rock. I partnered up with the Black Keys. They got a deal with Atlantic, but I did an album. So while they're investing all that money in what I don't own, I'm going to just use that and sell what I do own.
Right.
You understand? But it'll be something that we do together. So I think the 360 deal are for people that don't know anything about the music business, or someone that just has been given a career. But if you do it and you work for it and you earn it, there's no reason to have a 360. And it was created because when Rockefeller was rolling, they didn't have no parts of our merch.
Okay.
And they saw what I was doing. I was using the money that they were paying for videos and tours and all that shit
to promote.
And I was promoting Rockwear, which they didn't own. So I remember Leo saying, that was a good one, Damien. And the next thing you know, I hear a 360 deal.
Mm.
But the funny shit is when he got whacked, all of a sudden he started to go independent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So also people see people leveraging independence now because it's a new business model. That's you gotta really watch those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When you guys how instrumental were you with the State Property clothing line and all that?
Everything. I created it.
Okay.
I did every part of that. I tried to give all my artists a clothing line. I tried to build franchises. I didn't want them to work for me. I tried to build partners.
Okay.
So I did a movie, State Property, put the clothes, do an album, you know, and so you could promote all the artists without it going on their personal budget, you know, and promote the liquor, do all that. For Dipset, you got to remember, I did the Old Boy cologne with Cam for him when he had Old Boy.
Yeah.
You know, I did the Dipset clothing line for him initially. You know, every artist that came, it was like, you don't just do an artist deal. I'm going to help you do a clothing deal. I'm going to help you make movies. I'm going to show you how to do all the ancillary things so you don't have to depend on the clothing. And that's what got broken up at Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Because it was, I was making everybody powerful. That's what my thing is. It's called the circle of success. Keep your friends rich and you never go broke.
Now, you still good? Are you, y'all, you and Beans get it together. Because Beans was, you know, saying what he was saying. And I'm like, you put Beans in movies? I mean, you really gave him a big platform. So, you know, my man was, you know, saying stuff. Did you guys ever squash that?
All I can speak about are my personal conversations with Beans, and all I feel Beans should talk about if he is our personal conversations. And when we had the conversation, you know, logically, we worked it all out. It all had to make sense.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't the one doing any kind of rob. It can't be me. But, you know, those other places he had to look, I ain't trying to speak that man business. But,
right.
You know, we had a conversation. So, to me, whenever someone has an issue with me, that conversation should be with me, just
right.
out of the faith of everything good I've done. If I do 100 good things and you might think I did one bad thing, I at least deserve the conversation. I shouldn't have to hear about it on the radio.
Right.
So trust
right.
me, the first thing I speak about when that kind of thing happens, we do need to get that out the way, and we did.
Good. And I know you and Cam, you guys have been very loyal to each other for a long time.
Yeah, Cam's my brother.
Yeah. This whole thing with Cam and Mace, that just came out of nowhere. Where the hell did that come from, man? And I think your name popped up in the Mace's thing. Did you grow up with Mace? Or did Mace grow up around you?
No. I mean, I know Cam, right?
Right,
and
right,
Cam
right.
brought everyone else around.
Okay.
That's that. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? I knew Cam since he was about 15, maybe 11. You know,
oh,
I mean,
wow.
it's been so long. But he used to be super nice and bald. He was the youngest to win the MVP at the Buck. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Up at the Polo Ground. And, but he, you know, chose to do the rap thing. But we've known each other. Like, you know, he used to be on 40th. I'm on 41st. You know, and then downtown in 1199, where I really lived, Bloodshed, who passed, his cousin used to stay down there, so I used to see him both places. And we've just always had that hindsight to just laugh. We always laughed at people. We thought people were just doing things backwards, ass backwards, worried
yeah.
about the wrong shit. But Cam started rapping, and he brought Mace around, and really Big L was the first one really, really doing it, rapping. He had the first little single deal and all that. So it was really the Children of the Corn, and I used to manage the Children of the Corn, and that was Bloodshed, Cam and Big L, and then they started bringing Mace around. That was you know, he was Mace Mussolini.
All right,
drop that one.
Okay.
And he was, you know, Mother Mace and all that. And then, you know, I don't know from there. Like, I don't really get involved. You know, I think I'm 46 years old.
Yeah.
I'm only 47, so you know, to me that shit is all funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At this point in my age. But
right.
it's cool to hear your name and shit. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My kids is out there, you know, my nephew, so it keeps me relevant.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't take it so serious. I definitely ain't going to be talking about no shit that happened 20 years ago. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. But I do know when somebody says something and it's not truthful about me, then it makes me question anything else they said.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing is, like, being a person that's in the public eye, based on what they say about me is how I can judge how much I should believe what I hear from about other people. You know what I'm saying? So I know how much of that shit be bullshit.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I'm going to listen to anything else. Because you lying about me, you must be lying about everything else. You're going to lie about me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's that, really.
Big L, let's go back to Big L, man. Big L was very underrated. Very underrated, dude. I know when he got a solo deal, you weren't a part of that thing, were you?
Well, I actually came in to help him.
Okay.
Because you know, he had a deal, so I would come through. Like, I wouldn't say, because I wasn't trying to manage him, but I was always there for advice. That's my thing. I would
okay.
always give you some advice. So I was looking at his deals. Just Sony didn't know how to promote him, really. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And he didn't have, like, the proper infrastructure around him to set his shows up and all that. Had Big L's not been taken, number one, he was coming with Rockefeller.
Yeah, he would have been perfect.
But number two, even still, just because of the legendary stuff that he did then, like, he would have such a following. Like, look how legendary Cam is just because he never compromised.
Right.
You know, he's still A1. He's still crispy. You still talk about Cam as if, like, he's, like, just coming out the draft pick. He's still new right now. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much hype on Cam. Like, most of the time, like, somebody that age after 40 come out, it's kind of funny. It's a little sorry. You got their fans and all that. Cam got new fans, old fans. He, you know, he's got sneakers. He got
yeah.
liquor. It's like as if he's – and he never compromised.
Right.
My
right.
point is – Miguel was that way too. He would be that kind of legend right now had he been here.
Mm.
But I think right now, if you know hip hop, anyone that really is a true hip hop fan, when you see Miguel, he gets those kind of Rakim props.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because Miguel could really rap.
Yeah, he was thorough. That
he
brother
was a good
was
dude.
Very, very thorough.
Yeah, it was tough for me when he caught.
Are there anybody, there are people that you regret you didn't sign that you could have signed on Rockefeller?
I mean, shit, I had Kanye, Jay-Z.
Like, he had everybody.
The legend.
Like, I can't get them all. You know, I couldn't handle it all. Yeah. Actually, you got to remember, like, Rockefeller never went sideways. Someone just pulled the plug on it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, you know what I mean? But it was overwhelming. I still had work to do.
Yeah.
If I was going to do it. But I just wanted to diversify. Once I got knowledge of how bad what we were saying was, I couldn't really promote it as much anymore, being a father.
Mm.
And I'm definitely dealing with the karmic repercussions of that now. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Karma is big when you affect the world.
Wow.
You got to watch what you do.
Wow. The movie, was it The Backstage?
Yeah.
Now, who...
My idea.
That was all you? Okay.
Everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, some shit like that ain't never been done since then, right?
Yeah.
It's like going to the moon.
Man.
You know what I mean? One time, they quit. Because I quit. You know what I'm saying? So,
man.
All the cool shit, I did all of it. Because anything that was being done then, that's not being done now, I did it. Because after I left, it stopped happening. No more Rockefeller. No more Rockwear.
Yeah.
No more Steve
Rockwear.
I know
like
Rockwear. Yeah, the clothes were. Yeah, I used to rock them clothes.
That's what I'm saying.
Man, Rockefeller raised me. Are you?
Yeah.
You ain't got no desire to do that again, though?
Hell
no more artists, no more clothes, no more nothing? No desire?
Yeah, I do it for me now.
Right.
I'm not doing it for a bunch of people that
ungrateful
are people. Yeah, like, and I got to fight and be around aggressive men. I got daughters.
Yeah.
So I love making, now I do the Dash Diabetes Network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm showing, because I'm diabetic, it's about my point of view, not somebody else's. I got Poppington, you know what I mean? I was able to, what people never talk about is the fact that I got a $75 million company called Rachel Roy, and I've had it for the last 10 years. I invested, I did fashion, you know what I'm saying, and still do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no one talks about that. And that goes with the no father. They never talk about me being a dad, and they never talk about me owning a fashion company. That's very relevant, you know what I'm saying? But that was also my ex-wife. That was my wife at the time. Now, all the money, it wasn't coming to me or not. It go to my kids. It don't matter.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
And then, again, helping people is what I like doing. Like, I get to, like, you know, Kenyatta just walked in. I've been here for a minute.
That's the homie Kenyatta.
Do the hip-hop motivation.
That's my dude.
I get to just give game to kids that don't get game. I do it for free.
I like that show, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really, because I know how much easier it would be for me if somebody would have gave me something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, for all those cats that don't have it, they don't have somebody here to talk to, there's no excusing it. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is listen, and I'll give you the keys, you know what I'm saying, period, in a way you can understand it.
Right.
Unfiltered, nobody, because honestly, I'm telling you, I've been there. They make sure that anything smart we say does not come out unless it behooves them.
Mm-hmm.
But if it don't behoove them, they are not letting it go. I've been saying this shit since day one. Like, why y'all only showing me pouring champagne on girls' heads? I didn't like the narrative. That's why I had to quit
like
the whole game. I was like, I'm not going down there for being that guy because I'm not that guy.
Mm.
You know, and actually, that's a guy that I would never be again. That was some young, dumb shit.
And I know you apologized for that, too.
Actually, years ago, I apologized.
Yeah.
Once I got daughters. I'm like, what would I do if a nigga did that to my daughter? I would probably jeopardize everything that I work for.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to do something to a girl that I don't want done to my daughter. And karmically, I know it's going to happen.
Mm.
Period. That's why I had to stop it all, apologize. And not when anybody accused me of anything. I did it when it's not supposed to be the most popular thing to do. I'm like, I'm quitting hip hop. Because I'm not promoting selling drugs. I'm not promoting disrespecting women.
Yeah.
Because now because I don't want my kids being drug addicts, and I don't want nobody disrespecting my daughter.
Right.
That's that, and it's simple, and that's really all that counts is how your kids are affected.
Absolutely. I heard you do a quote one time. You said that it's hard to help men because a lot of men won't appreciate it.
Well, it's testosterone. You know, men are meant to be number one. When they get in the room, they get alpha on you and shit, and they want to be number one, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
So sometimes it's hard for another man to take constructive criticism. Sometimes they don't appreciate it, especially when you do it in front of girls.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So that's another thing is my whole life I'm helping men, you know what I mean? And they want to put it like this, no matter what, the girls love the boss. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
I don't be any rap or whatever. You're done when I walk in the room.
For real.
Just because I was considered the boss.
Right,
yeah.
And, you know, I've heard the girls say, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the boss.
Yeah.
Like, you know, certain girls are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So no other man wants to empower another man to, you know, have his girl want, you know what I mean? That kind of thing happens and shit. So a lot of that is why I just choose to really more or less work with women. You know what I'm saying? Because they're never really jealous. They want to help you.
and you really want to help them.
Oh, yeah. That's why my office is full of women.
I see.
Yeah, and I love your invested women hashtag.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you live
the
life. Like, think about it. Like, I never understood how a dude thinks it looks cooler to walk in a room with 30 dudes.
Dang, yeah, right. Jesus.
Or walk in a room with 30 girls.
Yeah.
Which looks cool?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's crazy. You said maybe people always got mad at you, though, yeah, but because you said you always stole the girl.
Yeah.
You did say that.
I was.
But you still everybody's girl. That's
not
what
my
you
friends.
Say.
Not, yeah. Never my friends. I don't even look at my girlfriend's faces. I don't
okay.
do that. But if someone like you know that I felt was disrespecting me, yeah, if they didn't give me the respect, I wasn't giving them the respect.
Was it purposely or just because you could?
I would never use. I'm attracted to women, so
mm-hmm.
I would never like use a girl to get at somebody.
Okay.
But like if I don't know you and you got a if I meet a girl and she has a boyfriend, if I don't know the boyfriend, I don't really care. I'm just
gonna
still move forward.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if I know the boyfriend, I'm like I can't do that. But if you disrespected me, you don't get that respect.
Okay.
And I'll conveniently be like, look the other way,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. And then I got that on you. You know what I'm saying? But that was then. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Again, you know, I've been like wifed up. There's wifey for life.
Hey,
like,
wifey
you
for
know,
life.
Spanish.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Very
nice. You
know
what I'm saying?
I ain't gonna ever mess with black girls.
That's
on the Rockefeller
crew
train.
Spanish. You see the hips, everything. Right? Walk away from
I knew she
yes.
was white when I seen her body.
Yeah,
I
me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too. But, you know, really what I needed to do is show my daughters that what a relationship has to look like.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Because really your daughter's just going to emulate what her dad is doing. That's our hero. And that's how she's going to accept and how she's going to be treated. That's what she's
mm-hmm.
going to look for. So I had to really, regardless, you know, the respect that I have for women is on tilt no matter what because I got daughters and I know the respect that women deserve.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like women have to be so much smarter than men because they don't get the physical muscles because they don't have the testosterone. So if they're in a room in a tough situation, they can't fight their way out. They got to get real strategic.
You see what I'm saying?
And talk their way out.
He understands.
Yes, he does.
Guys,
yes.
You need to take lessons from him.
Logical, you know?
Damn, how did you feel about your portrayal in that bullshit ass. That Wendy Williams bullshit. They had Al B. Sure playing.
I'm keeping it super real.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
You never saw that bullshit.
I saw a part of it because Oskino called me like, oh, damn. I was calling the table. They got you looking crazy. So I'm looking at a piece of it. But honestly, to this day,
oh,
I tell Rocky all the time, I got to watch that.
Watch it for the joke.
I have to watch it now. Like.
It's comedy, my dude.
It is funny.
That shit is funny.
I would think it would be comedy.
It is.
I wasn't expecting. I had no expectation of Wendy Williams doing a proper.
Yeah.
I bet it hurt her just to make me a nice guy.
Oh
yeah,
oh, yeah.
Of course
oh, yeah.
it did.
Oh yeah,
they probably made her do that.
Oh yeah, man! You guys got story. Yeah, the funniest story I heard about you, Dan, was the thing that happened in France where y'all got into a fight with some pimps in France. Have y'all?
Wait,
heard?
No.
Yeah,
what
they
happened?
Got into a fight with some pimps in France.
Damn!
Look, he
didn't want to
talk about
that.
I can talk about. I was like Superman. I was fighting everybody.
Oh,
just
okay.
Other
yeah.
people can't talk about that. They was running.
They were running.
I went for mine. I got stitches here.
Yeah, he got
no,
a cut on his head.
Damn,
yeah.
For real?
Is it like video?
No, it wasn't on video.
Because the cameraman ran. You know what I'm saying?
Damn! What happened?
Y'all were cameraman.
Well, y'all were in France and y'all were videotaping.
We was walking on the wrong block, right? You know, because we was in traffic and I was trying to get to a radio. Interview and Fashion Week was there, and I was throwing parties during Fashion Week, you know what I'm saying? Because I was trying to promote Rockwood as an international brand. So back then, I was taping everything, and the dude was like, yo, you might want to walk, it's going to take too long. And we walked on a block where a lot of illegal activity was going on, and you know, I guess one of the pimps or one of the, you know, they started yelling at the cameraman, and he always asked, I'm not even going to say his name. He always acts tough, and he like, fuck them, and all that. So the local tough guy, African nigga, ran up on me. Not me. He ran up on the cameraman and tried to take the cameraman's camera. And I was trying to, like, work it out, but like, he had that look, so I just decked him, you know, because it was my camera.
Yeah.
You know, I was in my mind, I hope the cameraman just take that. But, that was,
yeah.
But then he gets up, and he, you know, he was, I thought he had, it's a long story, but I ended up having to fight, like, 20 people, and they started macing. And the person that actually saved me was, you know, Johnny, the photographer?
From,
Johnny Nunez?
Yeah, from New York. He
yes.
does a lot of hip-hop stuff. Yeah, yeah,
Johnny Nunez was with us,
yeah.
right? And he was telling me he knew karate. But, you know, I'm
oh
really
my gosh.
That shit, right? So So after everybody ran, he ran. But because I was still fighting, he came back. And he was like, he had his camera. He was moving. He was doing that shit like moon shots. Right? I'm telling you, I wish the video didn't win the land. I would have had myself. But, you know, I ended up walking out with my dignity and my pride.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the models, and they, you know, because of Fashion Week, it was like the talk of the town. I was like Superman.
That's
So, yeah. I think there is footage, but all you're going to see is, you know, the footage when the nigga be like, a whole lot of gang shit. You're going to see the camera here. I don't think he let nobody see that footage.
Man,
it didn't look good for him, but there was witnesses there, so you know I ain't got to speak on anybody else. Cause that's not Johnny about it.
Man, that's funny.
What about reality
that's,
show?
That's funny, man.
You know, reality show. That's what I
want.
Man,
I mean, I'm on with my son doing a hip hop, so y'all could just watch him disrespect me. You know,
uh-oh.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
There was some other show with your brothers on there. I don't know what I saw.
Therapy, Family Therapy.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Family Therapy.
Yeah, well, y'all, they got you on all types of stuff. What was that about, the Family Therapy?
I'm sorry. I needed therapy.
I wasn't trying
to argue with them. You know what I'm saying? So like, you need therapy. For me, therapy is like a referee, because you could be in a room like full of two people that their opinions are retarded, but because they agreeing with each other, they think they're right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I wish somebody could hear this shit. I'm not even arguing with y'all. You know what I'm saying? And it was funny because something happened, and they had called me, and the check was good. I was like, y'all gonna... I need therapy anyway. You know what I'm saying? But the funny shit is, I didn't know I had to live there. So I don't agree to it. I was like, hold on, I'm not living there. Like, crazy, I'm a grown-ass man. Now, that's part of the game. So we worked it out. But at the end of the day, I got that referee, and I got to say what I needed to say, and they cut it whatever way they wanted to, but it really did help for a little while.
So y'all had to live in a house?
Yeah.
Was it the place over in Chatsworth?
It was in Agoura Hills.
Okay, okay, okay.
The place was dope.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was just like, the thing I didn't like about it was, they were like, it'll be therapy for only a small part of the day, and the rest of the day you can have shit to do. And I'd be like, we ain't gonna do nothing but argue. I'm not arguing with these dudes. You know what I'm saying? So unless there's a referee or somebody here, you know, y'all better get me more therapy. So I used to be like, more therapy. Because I had a lot of shit on my mind. They didn't give me enough therapy.
Oh, damn.
I like to talk. Right. And the thing about therapy is you got to get real dark before you get light. That's part of the process and shit.
Mm.
So it's like in group therapy, you got to see everybody get dark.
Mm. Oh, wow. How many brothers and sisters you got?
Two.
Okay, two brothers. Okay, no sisters. What kind of work did your mom do?
My mom was an entrepreneur. She was the best that ever did. She taught me everything.
That's where you get it from. Okay, I knew that had to come from somewhere.
Like, she was the one that taught me, like, yo, if you don't believe something, speak on it. And, you know, she used to sell clothes, and she was fly, and she was a secretary. But at the end of the day, I always had the best things in life. I don't know how she would pull it off. But I always went to private school. I always went on vacation. I was a spoiled kid. I had 10 pairs of sneakers at all time. I had a pinball machine. I had all that shit. I had a shag. I had to get rid of that. I was that kid. You know what I'm saying? I had penny loafers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I said I could do the white people thing better than white people, because I did it. I went to New Lincoln. I went to PS6. I went to Dwight.
Yeah.
What's Governor Growling about?
Dane's dog is in here. They got a miniature pit bull. This dog looks like a little pit bull.
That's
Governor.
Governor.
Oh, that is too funny.
Man.
He's so cute.
Man, so Dane, you don't miss the music industry, man.
Not at all. I make music.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I was able to put myself in a position that I can make music as I please. So people have to make music for money. I don't make music for money. I make it for love. I'm in the love business. I'm not in the exploit people and make artists mad at me business. And also, you got to remember, I was the person that was corporate but protecting all of the artists.
Okay.
So, I'm in a room full of people like, yo, dog, what you doing? What you mean what I'm doing? And I had a lot of those conversations like, yo, you fucking a hustler. I'm like, I'm not robbing these kids. I'm not doing that. I'm never going to do that. And that's what the music business was. It was robbing the business.
Yeah.
But I make music there in all my movies. I'm always doing a cool project. I did the Black Rock project. I mean, I got a motherfucking Dipset album with A-Track that I just didn't put out. I got, because I was doing it for money. I got Most Def albums. Because you got to remember, I opened up an art gallery.
Your popping gallery, right?
Well, before that, it was DD172.
Okay.
And that was, and it was crazy because, you know, I had 10,000 square feet in the most expensive real estate in New York. And I was completely independent, still am.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what they were saying in the paper was I was, you know, broke, doing nothing. When I'm running around the world, I had a better office than people that had deals. You know, like, no one gave me an office. I had a building. And downstairs I had a club, I had an art gallery, and upstairs I had a television network, and on the side I had studios.
Right.
So I was making ridiculous music. Like I was, like I had Wiz Khalifa before everybody else. He was working with us, but I wasn't trying to monetize him.
Okay.
J Electronica, Crit, Big Crit, put out all their first Currency.
Oh wow.
Like all this rock and roll, like, you know, like the Sleigh Bells and you know, Erykah Badu. Came down, performed in the basement, Bun B and all that. Like, I have legendary stuff. It's all documented.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So I'm not in what other people would call the music business, but it's my music business. It's my
right.
business. Like,
right.
I'm not doing other... Like, the music business, everyone knows, is the business that they created for us to contain us.
Okay.
I'm not going to be in that music jail. I'm in the business, but I'm not in the business of exploiting my culture.
Right.
And letting people make money off my culture and empowering other people so that their kids can go to school and mine don't. I'm not doing that. That's the game I'm not playing.
And you mentioned Dipset. You did some stuff with Dipset. Are you and Jim cool now? Because I know there were some things he was saying. Is that cool?
I mean, it's nothing to be cool. He's over there. I'm over here, period. You know what I'm saying? But again, Cam is my brother.
Right, right.
Anything Cam does, I co-sign. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? Period. There's certain kinds of disrespect that you can't really tolerate. You can forgive, but it's hard to move forward as men.
Mm.
But, you know, regardless, I, you know, all of that, I haven't seen it. You know what I'm saying? Period. There's nothing to be cool about. I got my kids. I got my woman doing my thing. You know, anything that gave me any kind of stress in my is in my rear view. I'm done with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like at a certain age, it's like I don't understand how dudes just want to be around dudes so much. And
would you speak on that truth?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Sure, sure.
But you, I know
if
you
I
said.
I have an issue with a guy, it's easy to let him go. You know what I'm saying? It's like peace. You know what I mean? It's,
and because I know you said, me and Jim, we haven't made enough money for us to have a beef.
Yeah,
well,
there's nothing to beef about.
Right.
I know Jim's kids, his mom, and shit. Like, what am I doing? And Civil War never makes no sense.
Right.
I'm not fighting my family, and I'm definitely not fighting my culture.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? The only thing I'm doing is defending myself from ridiculous disrespect. Then it's going to get a different kind of thing, but you have no choice. Defense is different. But offense, I'm never going to ever try to hurt anybody in my culture.
Right.
It makes no sense.
What was Funkmaster Flex's thing with you? Because he was talking real crazy one time. Where did that come from?
I don't know. He was protecting somebody, but you know, I got to voice my opinion, and I did it in a way that made me comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I can't speak on why another man speaks for another man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Again, to me, it's funny when people's opinions of me are made to be news. Because
right.
At the end of the
right.
day, I don't really take this shit that serious. You know, I'm just a regular dude from the block.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I got out the block, that was my win. The fact that my kids got nannies and drivers and they get to go to private school, that's all I really care about.
Yeah.
And the fact that my girl's happy and that I can get up when I feel like it and I can go on vacation and I can always have a view, you know what I'm saying? Like, I beat the game to me. You know what I'm saying? And now really what I want to do is build wealth for my children.
Absolutely.
Because and make it where their life is a lot easier than mine and I can practice nepotism. And then if I am going to make money, I want to monetize. I want to be the artist. That's why I like directing.
Yeah.
But I had to put my own bread up. You know, this honor up cost me $1 million out of my own pocket. And I put it out in 3 years. That means I got $1 million on the street. And also I want to give you your props because I really like the way you do your production. And
respect.
And think, like, I want to make movies off of all your stuff because you're telling the truth in a way that they can't even deny it. Very professional.
Yeah.
The product is great, and you distribute it on your own.
Absolutely,
that's why I made the trip out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, now, see, that's another thing is like I don't always pick the biggest platforms. I pick the ones I respect.
Absolutely.
You understand? You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I respect everything you're doing. I love the fact that I could change the channel and just go to Fox News to laugh at them.
Yeah,
and you help me.
Yeah,
you know, can I laugh at them?
Yeah,
and I just flipped over. I was telling you the other day.
I was talking to you.
One of those days, I just flipped over there to see what they was gonna say about. I think the dude. Snitching. I wanted to see if they were going to bring it up because sometimes they was asking you the question and you saw a laugh like, ha ha ha. Did you just say this? And she got so flustered that they cut it. She's like, you're not going to put words in my mouth, not today.
Yeah.
You made him come out of pocket and laugh at him.
Yeah.
And I love that shit. So I'm here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to work with you on any level just because, again, your production is they can't tell you nothing and the shit you're saying is ice cold. It's logical. And then the way you distributed this shit, like you do the theaters and just the DVDs, I was like, that's gangster.
Yeah, respect.
So you know what it is to do something in an unorthodox way, to hustle on a block that's not crowded and just eat, and nobody else knows about it, and it doesn't even make sense, and it's so easy.
Yeah.
That's the story of my life, just doing something a lot of people just won't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They won't complete it. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that not only are you completing it, but the production quality, you know, like this, none of that shit looks cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You distribute it. You know what I mean? And you're completely Cuba. You do your own thing how you want to say what you want. Shit on these niggas in Fox News.
Yeah.
I'm with all of it. You know what I'm saying?
But man, so the new movie, man. Honor up, man. The trailer. This shit looked like some Martin fucking Scorsese shit.
Man,
you wait, man. This shit is fly. I was gonna go by the crib. Yeah, I didn't get a chance, but I saw the trailer. I got to see the whole
thing. And really, that was the trailer for the mixtape movie. So what I did was, you know, I cut it a couple of different ways. So first, I did the music version. When I do a movie, again, we make music on the set because I have no downtime, and then I shoot the videos out there because I got the camera. So I get the first cut, you know, the acting. Then because I got rappers, playback, one scene got you, the music. Then if I got a comedian on there, I do the parody. Bomb. Yeah. I got three movies, actually four, because then I got the behind the scenes, so I'm taping everything anyway for the doc. So I first put out the mixtape movie, which is just random clips with the music. And people are like, oh, that shit wasn't a movie. Blah, blah, blah. All right, but they liked it. It was entertaining. And what happened was all the bootleggers bootlegged it, thinking it was a movie. And that's what I would have did with a mixtape anyway. Give it away, so they saved me the cost. So I have to print that shit up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you gotta know how to work with them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You know. And then I did another one, Losada, same shit.
Oh yeah.
And then you know, and put it out. And now what Honor Up is it goes together. You know, it's really the finished product.
Yeah.
So now it's the real movie. So I gave you the music version. Now you're getting the real version. You won't get the comedy version, and then you're gonna get the document version as well.
Now, what's Honor Up about?
It's about honor. You know what I'm saying? Again, Murder Mook came into my life from Smoke Dizza. And, you know, I like Smoke Dizza. He was part of the DD-172 crew. He does things correct. And he was like, why don't you do shit with this dude, Murder Mook? And I'm like, yo, bro, I don't want to know anybody with the first name Murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know that about me. But he's like, nah, he cool. So we ended up like at ASAP Rocky's house one day because I was meeting ASAP and doing that Harlem OG thing. And he was there. And we ended up talking, and there was something very familiar about the way he was.
Yeah.
And he told me he was from 127th Street, and that was where my OG Daniel was from. And I was like, yo, you know Daniel and Moose and this, that, and the third? You got to know them. And he was like, nah. And I kept asking, and they started to come around, and this man, Blackface, was like, yo, I think he's talking about D. I think D's name is Daniel, but he had changed his name. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And it was my OG. And it was Daniel, it was a picture of him, and he came on the set because I was shooting Losada, and he was like the same Daniel. And it really got me remembering all the things that he kind of like saved me from and what he taught me, because I come from a block on 142nd Street, and it was a crew called the Lynch Mob. You just Google it.
Okay.
And the most notorious people there were like friends of mine, and I was the guy that they never pushed. They were the kind of guys you either shoot at or shoot with, and they never made me do none of that. You understand what I'm saying? None of that for some reason, and I always wonder why. But I was one of those dudes, like they walk up, if somebody came to visit me on the block, I'd be like, don't come and visit me on this block, especially now with that jury on.
Mm.
Here comes Lou and John, and then they would get robbed. Mm. I wouldn't get robbed, and I had to go get the jury back. Like, I was that guy, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And I had a big appreciation for that. And also, I learned a lot about being a dad from Daniel. Like, you know, he would, I remember seeing him coming across the street all strong, fresh, had his kids in little cars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's how I want to be. That's the dad I want to be.
Mm.
So I also learned a lot about, and he always was trying to make sure I was healthy, always made sure, like we never talked about no dumb shit. It was always really smart stuff. It was always about evolving as a person. It wasn't the shit that you would think dudes in the street would be talking about.
Right.
But when it came down to knowing how to survive, it taught me all that too.
Mm.
So again, I had a crew, and I did, and because of how powerful my friends were that respected me, just because I was like a young fly guy, I never had to do nothing everybody else had to do.
Yeah.
So I had an appreciation for survival. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anyway, when I seen them, I started thinking all those things. And then, you know, a lot of things have been questioned lately, like the principles and the morals. You know, there's people looking the other way, you know, when it comes to snitching and this, that, and the third.
Right.
Like back in my day, how I'm taught, if you snitch, you a leper.
Yeah.
We ain't talking to you no more. We ain't talking to nobody to talk to. It's not really like that these days.
Yeah.
I'm not outside, so I don't feel it. But I'm still living by these rules, and I'm hearing things. And then he came back in my life. And then, you know, so I just decided to make a movie about it and have him star in it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And really, you know, because Cam is in it, and it was like that. It was like, because I knew the young guys, I mean the older guys, guys like Cam that were young kind of looked up to me a little, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, they OG. So I have always had the young dudes, because we still had that same young mentality, and we'd be laughing, but I'm pulling up in cars and, you know, all this type of shit, I would get money.
Yeah.
plus I had this kind of strength and muscle behind me. So it was like, you know, that's what the movie's about.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
I didn't betrayal, but just principles and morals, just things that just don't exist no more. You know what I'm saying?
You know what would be good? Because just you talking, I'm thinking that a documentary about Harlem would be good. Just
yeah.
the
Hell
history
yeah.
of Harlem has a rich fucking history.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
you know,
I mean,
just
it'd have to be like what decade?
Yeah, that, I mean
yeah.
that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
so
yeah.
many,
yeah.
there's so many different because things change. Like you know, the 80s was different than the 90s.
Yeah.
The 2000 was different. The 70s was different than the 80s.
Yeah,
Nicky Barnes and it was in the 70s, and you had Rich Porter and them in the 90s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the 80s was, you know, you had Bumpy Johnson, you know,
yeah.
so many decades, and that's all the gangster shit.
Right,
you're not even talking about
yeah.
the music.
The music, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sugar Ray Robinson's and the Cotton Clubs and, you know, all that type shit. But, you know, gangster shit was present in all those days anyway.
Yeah, because I like to tie all that in, the gangster, the music
so we
stuff.
Do it?
We need to do that, for real.
I'll definitely do one with you, because I know how you're going to get down.
Yeah.
You're going to get to the nigga.
Because yeah, a lot of
how you do your research for your
man, hey, I be reading a gang of books, talking to a lot of older cats, man. Like recently, I learned that speaking of Harlem, like Bumpy Johnson and all those people were funding Malcolm X a lot. Malcolm, yeah, I didn't know that either. I know a lot of civil rights.
That.
A lot of civil rights cats was getting
that.
Money from street dudes.
Know
you know,
that.
They were looking out. They were making sure the civil rights cats were good.
Right.
So yeah, it's a rich history, man. That
and
we got.
Black Panther,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So, man, when did you get into hip-hop, man? When did you just, being from Harlem, when did you first say, okay, hip-hop, I like this shit?
I don't, you know, it was part of it. You don't remember now, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Break dancing, you know, that was when, you know. Actually, see, what happened was, I used to go to white boy school, like Dwight and PS6, and I used to listen to Z100. And you know,
that's
like
the pop
station.
Yeah,
I was
looking
at MTV,
you know what I'm saying? And really, like, to me, what hip hop used to remind me of was the pain that I was trying to escape. I was the guy that was never really infatuated with violence and drug dealing and shit. So when I hear that shit, it'd be like, that's what I would do during the day.
Now wait, when you going
escape,
when
I'm trying to hear that.
When you're going to the white school, were you the only black student there?
Basically, yeah. In the class.
Wow.
But see, what happened was I was always the strongest guy in the class, the best athlete in the class, the best dancer in the class. I had all the girls in the class.
Yeah.
So I thought it was because I was black that I was better than all. I always thought I was superior to white people.
Wow.
You know what I'm
saying? Wow.
But
wow.
I actually, the reason why I went to the street was because I wanted to know if I was just superior. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know whether my skills, I wanted to know whether I could be this dude with black people. So it was almost my insecurity that brought me to the street. Because I started on private school and backpedaled to the street.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. But but it was so much I learned, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was so, I was like, but I could do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? I you know, the thing that really bugs me out more than anything in this world is I've never really been disrespected by no killer, ever. They've always given me the utmost respect. Whether they robbed me, they always gave me that. But the nerdiest niggas are the most, I've been disrespected so much by guys that I could physically break in half.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's crazy. It's like a test and it's nutty. You know what I'm saying? It's like, imagine coming from the street where you got respect from these guys, but then you go into a corporate environment, you got nerds trying to really play you.
Yeah,
like
they
try to like play you. Like, I'm like, you know, if you said that to me, even offered this deal to me in the street, in the fucking trunk. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how disrespectful you sound right now? Like,
right.
If I am this dumb, you really going to try to play me? You understand what I'm saying?
Because they know how to be like, well, I get the cops on you. That
type
of bullshit.
Yeah,
you know?
Or just not understanding, there's no recourse.
Yeah.
They know you're not going to get, they know it's like, you know, I know that it's justified. If you do certain things, just based on the principles that and of the ideals and the contract you signed in the game, that death comes with that. Getting beat comes with that. All these things come with it.
That reminds me of Steve Stout for some reason. Are you guys cool with Steve Stout? Are you cool? That just reminds me of Steve Stout for some reason.
Well, you know, Steve and I probably were raised by different principles.
Okay.
And sometimes he got caught up. You know, like, you can't ask bet somebody in the street that can get you smacked, shit like that. But he's recently told me how right I was, but I'm not, I'm just not clear of his agenda because a business came with that. And when I asked him, like, yo, what you doing? Because my thing was, yo, if you know, first of all, I was like, took you long enough. And then I was like, if all's forgiven, just pass the plug.
Yeah.
Like, what you doing? Let's get some money together. That'll show me if you're real.
Right.
And he didn't tell me about his new venture. So it's like, I specifically asked you, and you have a new venture with all this shit, because as soon as I would have heard that, I would have been like, send some out. You know what I'm saying? But he told me about these other things he was doing. I'm like, all right, well, What's up? Mm. Oh, yeah, I'll get back to you. I didn't hear him. That was it. That was the end of the conversation.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
You know, the fact that he didn't tell me about it made me suspect because he know I'd have been asking questions or at least I'd have been wanting to get some. But unless you share, you know, I don't believe.
No, right.
But if he does share, I respect the fact that he could be a man about it. But it just looked very convenient because the business came with the apology.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You
wow.
know what I'm saying?
Wow. When was the last time you talked
to him? He hasn't passed the plug.
Oh, well, he. So you got to put up a shut up, man. Money talks. Money talks. When was the last time you heard from Jay?
Last time I saw him.
What was that?
My daughter wanted to see him when she was like 16, about 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Kenyatta was there.
Oh, wow.
I
mean,
I think they put a Mickey in my drink.
Oh, Mickey, I heard that one.
I swear. He turned back.
And we kept getting drinks and shit. I ended up real drunk, man.
Oh, what?
Kevin Hart ended up putting me in a chicken wing and all this. Crazy.
That's hilarious.
But it was fun.
Man, that's good. That's good. And I like to see everybody at least, you know.
Yo, see, the thing about it is people can grow and go different ways.
Yeah.
Very true.
And if we have different ideals, we got different ideals. Like, this dream ain't the same as mine, man. I just don't want that life he got. I want a different way. It might be, like, to some people, it's unheard of. Like, you can just walk away from the music business. And, you know, once you did it, I've done it, man. I want to do other stuff. So, you know, I got a big life, man.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people in it. That chapter in my life was then, this chapter in my life is now. I'm more focused on family and my woman.
Mm.
I don't really care about nobody else.
Now, what if a kid from Harlem is listening to this? Somebody grew up in your neighborhood. Somebody's like, damn, I want to do what Dan is doing. I just want to get out the game, out of the street shit. Because a lot of cats get trapped in street life. What would you tell him? What kind of advice would you give a kid like that?
I would say figure out what you love the most and make money off doing that so it don't feel like work.
Mm.
But you got to work harder than anyone else at it.
Mm.
And that's it. So, you know, you like ice cream, then sell ice cream. You know what I'm saying? If you like cooking,
then sell
that shit
nonstop.
If you like music, then you got to make music, but you know what you're getting into. Like, the reason why I can do so many things is like nothing feels like work. I would do this shit for free.
Mm.
So get paid to do something that you would only do, that you would do for free.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because then you'll work hard at it. You know what I mean?
You come up with some very interesting ideas of stuff to sell. You had motor oil. I don't know who the fuck would think
of
that. They had motor oil. Like I got some motor oil. I'm selling.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, certain things I do for perception, I did it because I wanted to be a tycoon. So I wanted to be like, I sell oil.
Right.
And then also because we had a factory, I was able to, like, my son could throw raves in the factory. I did cool shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The business itself was rough. It wasn't worth it for me.
Mm.
But, you know, but I built a brand. I could license the brand out.
Yeah.
I can always bring back motor oil when it's convenient. Like, I like to start companies, but I don't like to run them.
Mm.
You know, I just like to make my own, like, on a snotty level. So, I wear my own socks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I like to wait. Like, I like my shit personalized. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I make my own liquor. You know, it's not always for the brand or for the business of it all. It's just because, you know, I just like to, I'm more creative than people understand.
Yeah.
I'm very creative, and I just happen to have an ill brain. You know what I'm saying? And no fear. Just because of my environment that I survived.
And that no fear is very important.
Yeah, no fear. And not giving a fuck what people think is big as well.
Mm. And I appreciate the way you multi-purpose things. Like, because everything you said, it goes to benefit someone that you love.
Yeah.
Like, everything that you've started, everything that you've built, you've always, like even just now, like, my son can use the factory for raising parties and shit, like. You always, like you said, above. That's fine.
I know.
Something
you said very interesting. You're like, I don't want to be the dude. You got a lot of powerful people who go in a room and there's a white dude in the room and they start skinning and grinning and all that bullshit.
I see a lot.
Yeah, that's some sickening.
It's sickening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really fun. I wish I could take. I wish if I had the camera like I used. I used to always have a camera.
Yeah.
With the phones, I'd be like, look at this nigga here. It would bug y'all out.
Because, you know, there's video of you snapping on motherfuckers in offices. And you got to get like that. I mean, shit. Sometimes you got to check.
Like, be like, who the fuck is that? I'm not one of these niggas.
Yeah.
They're used to people doing anything for the plug.
Yeah.
Because they don't think they could be the plug.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll never let. Like, who are you talking to? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even down to the one I seen again, but it was Bob. I went to lunch with him once. He balked on his staff something terrible. It was so disrespectful. So I automatically was like, look, bro, don't ever talk to me or anyone that works for me. Let's just have that boundary now. He's like, okay. I had to let him know.
Right,
you know,
then and there.
Like, don't play with me. Like, sometimes you got to do that. If they're used to being around cool, sometimes they slip up and treat you like, whatever.
Yes,
you can do that, but, you know, don't do it in front of me and don't do it to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to like what you get back.
Man. Man, they were saying that the Weinsteins were at dinner one time, and you went into a restaurant and checked them on some bullshit.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Because he wasn't putting out paying in full.
Mm.
What happened was he had, the whole situation was funny, but for paying in full, they was trying not to put that out. They was trying not to do reshoots and shit, and I was like, well, give it back, I'll put my own, but you're not going to just not take my call.
Mm.
You know, this was culturally something that was important, and I'm in the street, you know, not in the street, but I still got to hear it from my friend front line.
Well, of course.
And, they were like, well, we'll have a meeting, but only with Russell. And I was like, what? So I ran into them in, Paris. I ran into Harvey because Bob don't come out.
Mm.
So I got him there, and then I got him at Ken. And then, you know, we finally had the meeting, and Russell called in, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And we went and moved ahead, and they put in a limited amount of theaters. And what they had promised me was, if it has a high per screen average and it's well reviewed, that they put it in more theaters.
Okay.
So we had a 6,000 per screen average, and that's great the first weekend.
Right.
And the New York Times gave it a really good review.
Right.
And so I'm calling them, and they backed up not taking my call.
Mm.
So I was like at the after party to what do you call that? Victoria's Secret show. I was like the DJ and shit. I was a man that day.
Yeah.
And after we were at this restaurant, and I ain't gonna say the girls' names, but you know, they were cool, and then we were all hanging out, and they were pretty popular models.
Yeah.
Still are. And he walked in, and he starts, I'm like, yo, what, y'all ain't call me? And you know, he started talking to them, trying to like diss me, and I was like, oh, this thing is a herd. I started screaming it like, Harvey Weinstein's a herd. Because I wanted everybody to know.
Right.
And I'm talking about the girls ran off crying. It was like they were so scared. And I was like, y'all scared of this pussy? Like, pause. No disrespect.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all can't be scared of him. You know, Giuseppe Cipriani squashed it. Like, he's the one that used to keep me off him because we all kind of were in the same circle, social circle.
Yo, wow.
He owns Cipriani. So he'd be like, damn it, you can't keep disrespecting me. You know what I mean? So it was like that.
Man, so anyway, Dame, how can people find out about the movie? Where can they go to check out some information about the new movie?
Well, you know, I think once we roll out this marketing plan, I know exactly how exactly what theaters it's going to be in. I'm going to definitely set up a destination for people to go and see it or a party to bring attention to it and do all kind of touring and things like that. I'm going to do an app, you know, all of this.
Yeah.
But it will be in the theaters. Should be February 14th. You know, you can go to Dame Dash Studios and get the streaming service. You see everything that we're doing, from all the information stuff to the movies, you know, to the all the stuff I do with Kenyatta for Hip Hop Motivation. We also got this book. Man, you should have bought the book. We got the culture.
Let me show y'all Kenyatta. Kenyatta, come back here, brother. Come behind Dame so we can see it. It's our brother, my L.A. player. What's going on with you, Kenyatta? Hip Hop Motivation.
Go ahead, say something.
Just stand behind Dame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just stand behind Dame. All right, there you go.
Yeah, but see, we did the book Culture Vultures. It's finally done. You know, it's right now we have it digitally done. It's on the digital. It's a lot of pictures. It's dope boxes. I'm going to send it to you.
No doubt.
So you can read it.
No doubt.
And we sent it to select people. The first people I sent it to was Congress.
Oh, wow.
The Black Caucus. You know what I'm saying? Because you would be surprised how much support they are, really. Like, I went and observed them last year.
Okay.
And they can make things happen. I think really what people that want to make a difference should understand how the system works. How to get shit done and how to get laws passed. It's not as hard as you think, but it does take work.
Right.
But they are in there, they're fighting, and they can't protect us if we need to be able to pass these laws is important.
Mm.
You know, and the agendas right now was keeping the money in the black neighborhoods and, you know, investing in the black banks. That was what I was there for to talk to, but I got to know a lot of them. So we sent it to them to make sure they knew just in case some funny shit happened. You know what I'm saying? So the Congress already know or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if they start fucking with me or whatever. You know, because giving information and being smart can be dangerous if you don't move right.
Right.
They'll set these little time, like, they won't really do something, but they'll overdo it on you if you get caught doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Like something little. So you gotta kind of like look for the test and shit. So you gotta move a certain way. More smart and wisely when you're more intelligent than the people that are trying to oppress you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes you smart. But, so we got the book and we're figuring out how to roll it out and we want it to be impactful. But still be independent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to figure out how to do it that way. And then we're starting to work on the Culture Vultures part two. We also did the audio. And, you know, Rocky did the artwork and all the pictures and everything else. It looks dope. You know, again, we're just figuring it out. And then having a lot of businesses means you have to have the bandwidth to do the business. You can't just have an idea and think it's going to execute itself. And you can't do everything on your own. You need a team. So in all these different businesses that I do, again, I like to create the brand, but it's so hard to like do everything. Like even with my liquor, it's been like a half-hearted launch, but it's really just me establishing the brand and understanding. And I get the right partner, and I move accordingly.
Right, right.
But as it relates to the book, we made the book, but you know, I don't put out books, and he doesn't put out books. So it's right us now. Until it's, unless somebody jumps in and tells us how to do it,
yeah,
and makes it that much easier, we got to learn it. So we have to, how much it costs to make a book, what's the best way to do a book, to the tour, and, you know. But I've been sending it to a lot of people that are like, you know, we've been around a lot of Charlemagne, to be honest. Been cool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And been, all of a sudden,
shout out to Charlamagne.
Yeah, you know, he's number one in calls. It was like, oh, he was like, and I was like, all right, you know,
I mean, you were going in on him. That infamous interview, you were going in on him. You with the chatty patty. That shit was classic. Yeah.
You know, just because people, it's funny how they want to learn shit the way they want to learn.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be mad at me because I ain't teaching you the way you want to be taught. Mm-hmm. You know, how you going to tell me how to teach you something you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That should be funny to me, you know? But usually people like that. That's the ego.
Yeah.
The ego slows you down. It's dead weight. And once you get past the ego and just really look into what I'm saying, you know, and apply it, it's going to help you. It's going to change your life. You can't be mad at it.
Yeah.
And it takes somebody real to be able to admit that. You know what I'm saying? But, so we'll see. You know, maybe do some cool things. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? But we got to do the Harlem I'm Down.
That'll be fly.
I would love when I get in position to turn any one of your movies into those docs into real movies. It's
one of those sections, movies. Because that's what we did with 1804. We took a part of it and did the movie about Haiti. We just put that.
Oh, it's a scripted movie?
Yeah, well, it's another documentary, but we just took a part from the Hidden Colors series.
I saw you was in Haiti.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. Yeah.
Oh, I got to watch that.
Oh, you didn't see 1804?
Let me just tell you, Dr. Rogers be saying that, but I was like, yo, give me that. I need to see it. We put it in the theater and we watched it. And also had some white people watch it.
Oh, wow.
And they need to know their history.
Yeah. Hidden Colors. You stole Hidden Colors 4?
The last one you made.
Hidden Colors
4,
What'd they say?
It was like, that's deep.
Oh, wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, because it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense. You know, I think the part about, you know, people that were in where it's cold, they had to, you know, they got to fight and kill.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in Africa, it's about love and shit. So he was unprepared when they came through because they used to being savages and we not. Because we give love to grow, we not got to kill to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We grow to eat. It's just a different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's cold and you lived in a cave.
Yeah.
That's logical. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I can say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'd be saying that to him. Like, that's what I mean. A lot of times, I dropped a lot of that shit on them. Trust me on that. That's what I do. When I be around a room full of white people, we talk.
Yeah.
Trust me. Don't think we don't. You know what I mean? And it don't be like, you know, resistant, like a mad thing. It'd be like, this is my perspective.
Yeah.
And this is, because you notice there ain't no real black aliens, right? Like, you know, all the aliens they talk about, Anunnaki's, tall white.
Yeah.
We're the black ones. Right? Yeah. We're the black races out there, too. Like, I gotta be some black ones. So I bet.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We just, don't try to take racism to another galaxy. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me ain't no
Jim
black
Crow
aliens.
And Mars.
Like, they made black people slaves all around the
world. You dig?
Nah, that ain't it.
Man.
So, you know, that I have those kind of conversations. And it's not like it don't get aggressive. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
We look at it like, damn. I really never heard of a black alien. Like, they never all these races and they all tall and white. What's going on?
Exactly.
Arctic. Nordic. You know what I'm saying? Or fucking, even reptilian.
Exactly.
Well, damn, it ain't no black nillion. You know what I'm saying? With the black nillion. You know what I'm saying? Where is the black nillion?
Exactly.
You know, so.
But hey, damn, the culture has to respect you, man. You are very instrumental, man. You do not get enough credit for what you've done for the culture of fucking hip-hop, my dude. There would be, Rockefeller would not have been what it was without your energy.
I wouldn't be who I am.
Right. I love Jay. It was your energy that made that shit really pop off. It was that whole thing that really made it pop off for the culture. And people got to give you your props on that.
The good props are the ones that last way after you hit.
Yeah.
So you got to think, in the moment, the people that are resisting the props, it's just going to all take big girls, I promise. And you know what I mean? It is. I probably, at the end of the day, it comes down to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that I'm looking at the way things are. Like, it's crazy to watch all these people that, like, are Weinstein. I'm like, y'all really fucking, like, I couldn't even,
yeah,
I can't even believe it.
They reluctantly got to give you your props.
Like, they have to.
Even Kanye. Even Kanye. Because I saw an interview, they asked Kanye straight up, hey, do you regret? And I said, I knew, dang, Kanye was like, I regret it.
See, you know? I think the way they led people to believe was that they got taken from you. Not that I walked away.
Right.
That's what it is. It was almost like breaking up with a girl, and the girl said she broke up with him. And you're like, say what you want to say.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
That's how I felt about it. Mm. So to me, to be able to get away was the best thing for me, because I didn't see nobody able to get away.
Yeah.
I had to get out of that shit. Mm. I didn't want no parts of it, bro. I was not happy. Mm. You understand? I hated arguing for the wrong shit all the time.
Yeah.
And then hustling for other people instead of myself.
Right.
Something about it wasn't right. And I didn't have enough time to raise my daughter.
Mm.
You understand? It was like, damn, I'm doing all this for some other dudes and shit, and fighting and getting out there and murder charges. Every time, it's like I'm still on the street.
Yeah.
And my kid is going, I got a man. Mm. And they don't need one. So when my little girl came, Tallulah, I really quit everything.
Mm.
I was like, nah, unless it's in a gallery and in a place where she could be at, and unless it's like, I had to change it all. And I started to make everything my muse was like whatever Rocky was doing. Because she was always doing something that was good for my daughters, like painting or taking pictures or going to festivals. Things that don't involve guns.
Yeah.
Police.
Yeah.
That involve
yeah.
grass and water.
Yeah.
I did this shit. Like, I don't know how anybody doesn't want to leave the jungle. Like, you might want to come back and help it, but really need a vacation from that shit.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying? So. Yeah. That was back to my music thing. I stopped listening. I don't listen really to hip hop unless I know you, because I'm trying to escape that shit.
Mm,
so I'm trying to leave the block. I don't want to hear about the block.
What you listening to? Then?
Yeah.
You just sit and listen to Alanis Morissette around the
corner. I listen to a lot of old school shit. Like right now, like my man Paul Citizen Coke. That's my homie. I like his music a lot because it's smooth.
Yeah.
You know, the alternative stuff. I like live instrumentation. So I like to see instruments getting played.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? It's another energy.
The magic of making instruments play at the same time well. You know, that's what I kind of like. It don't necessarily have to be rock and roll. I just don't want to hear about drugs.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about murder. I don't want to hear about strippers.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about, you know, things that I'm not wearing. You know what I'm saying? Like shit that I've been, you know, the material things. I just try to escape that world because there's a lot of insecurity there, a lot of death, a lot of sad things going on to survive.
Yeah.
So I was in it knee deep. Again, I'm just happy to get off the block, really.
Yeah.
And that my kids don't have to go through what I had to go through to survive.
Absolutely.
I ain't get beat down or nothing. I ain't get abused, but I'm desensitized. Like, somebody gets shot, it don't fuck my day up.
Mm.
And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I see somebody laid out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember Rocky was telling me, this dude went through so much. He saw somebody get shot. I was like, I used to see niggas get shot. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I seen bullets go in niggas, their brains swell up, watch their mother crying over them.
Yeah.
You get desensitized. You know, when you lose your girl, right. Like Aaliyah, I lost, you know, my moms and shit.
Yeah.
I don't have so much compassion for what the world worries about. Because unless you're dying or going to jail or sick, it's not a problem to me. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing to be upset about. What are we arguing about?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm desensitized to maybe the fault. You know what I'm saying? But I'm, that's why I enjoy it. How you feel about people talking shit about it? Why would I care?
Speaking of,
what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck?
Speaking of talking about murder and rap and hip-hop, there was a rumor a long time ago that there was going to be a super group between Jay-Z, Ja Rule, and DMX called The Murderers. Was that true, or that was just something?
That was one of the
Herb's
trying to put that shit together.
Okay.
But, you know.
What was that?
Yeah, they were talking about
the real super group was going to be Jay and Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
That was going to be the real super group. That was going to happen.
That was going to happen. What happened?
He died.
Yeah.
Shit. You see, remember he put out a double album?
Yeah.
He put out a double, and he was going to put out a triple, and he was going to have his contract fulfilled. And then we was looking for Charlie Baltimore, and we was looking for, that was her name, right?
Yeah.
We were actually looking
up. Because she was signed with Un,
No, it wasn't her. We were looking for one.
Oh, or another one, okay.
Like, that was his girl, whatever happened, I don't know. But we were, like, the group we were putting together, we were actually physically looking for a girl.
Okay,
and then
Biggie, Jay, and another girl.
And a girl.
Wow.
Yeah, but we didn't identify who that girl was. We never got her.
Oh.
Like, I remember we were talking to Free for a second. Me and Clark wasn't talking to her because she was a rapper.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
Back then.
Okay.
Yeah,
and yeah, then he was gonna come.
Fuck.
How come y'all didn't get a meal? She was on Rockefeller.
Oh my God!
What about
it?
He said, "How come y'all didn't get a
meal?" Yeah, how come y'all didn't get
a meal?
And, what was that?
A million.
Yeah.
That had already. I don't even think a meal was in our life at the time.
Oh, okay. That was before her. That was before.
But you know, again, I don't know how that would have rolled out. You know, what happened? It was. You know, that was the thing I regret, because back then I tried to sign the firm.
Didn't the firm took that idea, right?
I tried to sign everybody.
Okay.
That's what happened. I tried to sign everybody, and then Steve Stout tried to do it. Everything I would try to do, that's what Steve Stout would do.
Oh, wow.
And he would be the guy that would, like, salt our shit, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Like, we were going to see Interscope, he would tell Jimmy Iovine not to fuck with us.
Oh, damn.
He played those games.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So, it was, he tried to snake us for a clue. Like, I had to run in there while they were doing the signing. And be like, no, that's not it. I had to walk up in there.
Oh, literally doing the signing?
Yes. Like, come on, man. Because I had told him I was signing him. He went to run around my back and tried to. I was like, yo, bro, you're going to be my friend. I ain't doing that.
Damn.
And for real, we ain't doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool about it.
Wow.
Ask him about it.
Man, so that behind the scenes shit, man, it's hilarious.
Oh, it's a whole lot of funny shit behind the scenes.
Man.
It's because we, you know, you would think we acted like we were like, especially back then because we were so young and with so much money. We were in heavy comp with each other, so we used to talk shit to each other all day. So if you saw me and Steve and everyone that was in, we were talking shit, we had the better deal, popping mad shit. We were shit poppers.
Were you and Un ever cool? Because Un signed Cam first, right?
Yeah, we was cool.
Yeah, but then the whole thing with Jay was a whole.
And we weren't cool.
Right. Was Cam still cool with Un? Or what?
I don't even remember all that shit, to be honest. So long ago, okay, I just know, like, once that happened, that was a stupid situation. But I couldn't move forward just because of the my moral values.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, like, you know. But, you know, with Cam, I don't know. All I know is me and Cam always had this agreement. No matter who we fuck with, we always got to be cool. Fuck everybody else.
Right.
It's us. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, so he was with him, and it was a time Cam and I had friction. It was like, we can't. Like I said, I can't fight my brothers.
Right.
And it makes no sense. And that's what socially that we do culturally. That's what they always make us do, fight each other over stupid shit, like over an opinion, or, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm never going to participate. I'm not going to let you play me smack me. You know, it's going to be repercussions because I'm going to fight back. But, like, if I can avoid it, I'm never fighting another black man.
Yeah.
I'm never fighting my family. Mm. I'm never fighting my friends. Like, I don't understand how somebody can disrespect somebody, but, like, you know they kids and shit. Like, you can't disrespect the kid. You know they mother. Can't do that, you know what I'm saying? Period. You know what I mean? I'm not even fighting my baby mothers. I'll never do that.
Mm.
And that's crazy because, you know, in the street, let's say I got a beef with someone that's your friend.
Yeah.
You come to me and be like, yo, that's my man. All right, squash. If there's a proper respect, they don't want to be said. But with your kid, you can't squash your beef with your kid mother. You know, like that, your best friend, the person you love the most. Like, I couldn't beef with your moms. So how am I going to be for my own kid's mom?
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Like, I'll squash it for someone in the street, but I won't squash it for my kid. That shit don't add up to me. You know what I'm saying? And I had to get past that. I can't be beef with your mom. She love you.
Right.
I can't beef with nobody that love you.
Right.
Nobody that
grew
you
up
love.
Together and all that shit too.
Just all of that. Right. You know, like, if I could squash it for my homies, then I could definitely squash it for my kids.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's the way I had to approach things. But I didn't know that with my son.
But anyway. Yeah. So the movie... Honor upcoming in February, man.
I got the list coming too. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's another one I directed. You know?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because Brian White, Columbus Short, Claudia Jordan.
Claudia comes here all the time.
Yeah, talking about the movie. It's sort of.
No, I'm a holler at her.
Yeah, Lil Durk is in it.
Okay.
Tori Hart is in it.
Oh, it's Korha's wife.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's funny. She's funny.
This movie is going to be a shocker.
Oh, wow.
It's off the hook. So, you know, I met you with Left Hand Right. So I met you with this movie and that movie, and I'm starting a new one in Vegas.
Right.
And then also we're doing the cultivation as well. In Vegas, we go to weed legally.
Yeah.
In Vegas, it has to be super clean. You don't want drug dealers to be able to grow weed.
Okay.
So your facility got to cost millions of dollars. You can't go microbials or whatever.
Okay.
So it's like you have to have the whole foods of weed, but it's a thing where, you know, it's a state of emergency. The government is like, yo, we need more weed.
Yeah,
and it's so funny the way things turn around.
And then
I have the ability to see it in my lifetime.
Yeah, you know,
so I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah. What's your Instagram, man?
Dusko Poppington.
Yes. Y'all follow my brother Dane right now if you are not already doing it. Layla, what is your Instagram, dear?
Miss Layla Lopez, MSLAILALPZ.
Yes, and Bree, what is your Instagram?
It's Bree Small. Come check me out.
Yes, and Tariq Elite on Instagram. Kenyatta, my dude. Yeah, what is your Instagram, brother?
Hip_hop_motivated.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. My man back there looking like a dark-skinned Shug Knight. That's my dude. Nice. Which one of the Hidden Colors premieres did you come to? You came to three.
I went to two and three, I think it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you roll out the new one the same way?
Yeah, same way. Yeah.
So it's the theater for the day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, yeah, they were there. Yeah, they were there with the Tony Braxton outfit on. Yeah, it was nice, yeah.
And you do it premiere in every state.
Every city, yeah. Every city.
Number one on Amazon.
Yeah, it was the month. It was number one for like a month. Yeah, we do about 20. We did like almost 30 cities this time.
We did UK.
I remember I was talking about doing that way. I ended up talking directly to Mark Cuban and shit.
Yeah.
Then he put me to another person, but then I didn't have the movie done.
Oh yeah, like I work with his folks. I know exactly who they. I know we'll talk about that.
Yeah, because again, for the I'm doing this one with the Lionsgate. Okay. That's cool. But it was only really for the perception. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're gonna put them in the theaters. But I would really prefer to do it independently.
No doubt. That's
the streaming service. If it don't cost them, I got to really pick your brain about that. You know, a lot of times people want their negative back. They want to breathe. But, you know, when you got that long old school paper, like in color money. that catalog is about to be worth a whole lot.
Man. Oh yeah, it's the girl's birthday, by the way. The girl
thank you.
Yes.
For my gift.
Yes, show me gift. I got to ask some gifts. Yes.
Oh, you
got
your gift. You didn't show me. First of all, Tariq got my son's gift too.
Yes, yes.
He got my son some Jordans.
Some Jordans. Yes indeed.
Thank you very much. Yes, on that.
Look at that. I got Bree some Versace.
You
did.
What you got? Okay, and you got me a sweatshirt. Oh, hold on, I can't even. Hold on, get it.
Happy birthday to me.
Thank you.
Yes, it's my birthday.
Yes.
We're both Sagittarius.
Yes.
So
mine's
December 4th.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. For my password. All
right, y'all. We got to get out of here, man. It's been a great show, man. Yes. Real good game for my brother Dane.
So
thank you so much for coming by, my brother.
On my show now.
Yes. Absolutely. It's my brother, man. We chop it up, man. And all that good stuff, man. Dane kind of talked me out of something one time because I was talking about snapping on bootleggers for bootlegging my shit. Dane just said some shit that made a lot of people like, hey,
that does make sense.
I used to be up, but Dane was like, no, you can't do that no more, man. They'll lock you up for stealing your own shit. Like, okay. So you need a voice of reason. Okay, I'm like, all right, you're right. Okay, chill out.
OJ Simpson.
Yes. right there. That nigga did 9 years.
That's that little bomb they try to drop. Mm-hmm. That little, to know that as a man, you're going to react, and then they're going to get you for that.
Exactly.
They're going to overdo it on you.
Exactly. So, man. But anyway, man, thank you so much for coming by, Dane, man. Thanks everybody listening for the show, man. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Cool. You don't tell them we're not going to be